Okay? So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. And I'm excited about this chapter because it's dealing with the time in the that we're in, how things took place in the past. The same things took place in the past are happening today, and they're going to happen in the future. And what's exciting about it is that they already happened in the past. They were spoken in the Word of God, and they came to pass. And now they're speaking to us today, and they're going to, and if they happened back then, and it's in the Word of God, and it's in the Word of God for us today, it's going to happen for us today, and it's going to happen in the future. So it's exciting about the end times. But the whole thing about it is that Jesus reminds us that God's in the control. This is why I always say, guys, whatever's happening don't matter, because God's still on the throne, the gospel's still being preached, and people are still getting saved. That's the most important thing of all. The purpose of Jesus was, he said, I came to seek out those who are lost, and came to what? Save them. And if that's his purpose, it's our purpose as well. And so we got to follow after his, after him. So let's pick up. We're going to pick up at verse 14 and where we left off last week in chapter 21. But we'll just read it through and then pick up at verse 14. So let's look at verse 1. Well, let's pray first. We should pray, right? Okay, then let's do that. Father God, we do come together, and Lord, we are blessed and we are excited about the word. Jesus, you tell us in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those, oh, happy are those who hunger for the word of God, who hunger not only to hear the word of God, but to be doers of the word of God. And so, Lord, we want to be happy this morning. We want to be excited this morning, but also we want to be warned. We want to be alert. We want to be watchful as the events unfold right before our very eyes. And so bless us, Lord, as we look to your word, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. We pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, verse 1. And then he looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in the offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So encouragement, God knows what you do. God knows what you do for him. And whatever you do for him, it doesn't go unnoticed. Even if it's just giving somebody a glass of water. Like we talked about the pastor's an elders meeting, Lou wanted a bottle of water, and Tony went to God. I said, see, that's all God required for him to bring him a bottle of water, and that's all God wanted, and he was obedient to it. So God takes notice of everything that you do, regardless what it is. If you want to part the Red Sea, that'd be awesome, but it ain't going to happen. Because you aren't there. You're not by that sea. Maybe you can part a puddle in your yard. I don't know. But the practical things, God sees them. So know that. Be encouraged by that. And so he goes on and he says, he says in verse 5, he says, then some spoke of the temple and how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, and he said, these things which you see, the day will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that no one deceive you. That's the first answer to their question. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the biggest deceiver of all, claim to be God. Wanted to be God. Satan, I want to be like God. I want to be God. And he's still today, we see him still trying to do that today. You see it? You guys see it, right? Well, guess what? In the future, he will do it again when the Antichrist steps in there. He's still going to, and he's going to deceive many. He says, don't be deceived. He says, they'll be coming to say, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Very easy to go after someone who's very gifted in speech, very gifted in wisdom and knowledge. Even us as believers, we can get caught up in that and say church hopping, going from church to church, seeking that perfect pastor or that pastor that's gifted. Well, all pastors are gifted. All pastors can teach. You can teach. Actually, you guys even got the same gifts that I have. The only difference is I have a title. But who wants it? I don't want a title. Most people are just titles. They're not even doing the work. They're just titles. Be careful. Don't be deceived that you look at one pastor and you already prejudge that guy. And you know how many times I've been prejudged? Many times. Right in front of my face. And they look for that perfect pastor. They want the big mega church. They want the fancy lights and the fog machines. And they want the whole setup of the band and the beautiful voices. Well, I would love to have that, but we just don't have the room for it, okay? We have true worship up here. It's called worshiping in spirit and truth. That's all we need. Because if we are like, if we do that, guess what? God maintains it. We don't have to maintain it. But those big mega churches, they have to maintain a lot of what they do and their outreaches and all this. I would love to have that, but then we would have to maintain it. We have to keep it up. The minute, I bet you, you know what? I bet you, if you took away the mega churches, fancy stuff, you took away all their events, you take all that away, see how many people will still be there. A lot of people have itchy ears. Very important. Keep your eyes on the master and not the pastor, okay? If you keep your eyes on the master, you're going to do well because he said, don't be deceived, okay? Many will come. In verse 9 it says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. How many here watch the news? How many of you watch TV? How many of you have noticed that since last Sunday, things have gotten even more hairier? For not only Israel, China. China's domination of the sea out there to make their presence known has grown even greater just since last week, and they're confronting ships out there in international waters. It's getting worse. Bombing of the U.S. in Iraq and Iran is getting worse, just from last week. Watch the news. You'll see it. It's right there. And what's going on in Israel. So it's happening, guys. It's happening. But it doesn't mean that the end is near you. He said, this is all going to happen before the end of the age. It's going to get more intense. It's going to get more greater. It's going to get more crazier. And it will affect you and me. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You can't. There's nowhere you can go. David said, there's nowhere I can go where your presence wouldn't be, Lord. You can't. Not even if you go to the moon. It'll be you because you're a born natural sinner. You would be the one who would start the sin on the moon. You can't go. You can't run from it. So what do? We got to run to the Lord. We got to run to Christ. We got to seek the Lord while he may be found. And we got to hunger and thirst for the word. And when these things take place, the whole purpose is you got to draw near to God. That's the best. That's the most safest place to be right now is in the word of God and in fellowship and worshiping the Lord and doing service for God. That's the most safest place to be right now. Not anywhere else. And he goes on, and in verse 10, he said, Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be great earthquakes. And we just had recently more earthquakes. And in fact, Misty, she said, yes, I think it was, when was it, Friday, on the radio, I was in the car. She said, hey, did anybody just feel that earthquake right now? And that was during the day. And I said, oh, no, sorry, I just fell, you know. I fell upstairs. We were having more earthquakes. Another big earthquake has taken place. So it's happening more intensely and more frequently. He says, but more pestilence and famines, and there'll be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Verse 12, but before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up in the synagogues, in prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Verse 14, look at it. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Now, why is that? This is a good question here. Why is that? Well, look at verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. There's your answer. When he says, don't worry about, don't let your hearts meditate on what you're going to say. Oh, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. What am I going to do? He says, it's going to turn out for occasion for the testimony. So every one of us as a believer, we don't need to make preparations for our defense. I mentioned yesterday, who are we to defend God? How can you defend God? Well, wait a minute, God, get back, get behind me. I'll defend you. And the enemies are going to look at you like this, but they're going to look like this to God. His feet rest on the earth, guys. You want to defend that? You can't even defend his little toe. God, we're not here to defend God. We're here to serve the Lord, to be on the offense, not the defense. But when it comes down to a defense or to defending your faith, he says, you don't need to make preparations for your defense. He says, you just need to be ready to give an answer. That's it. Just be ready. And how are you going to do that? Just open your mouth. I will fill you. I will tell you what to say. I will give you the answer. And Peter, he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what he says. And I love it in the New Living Translation Bible, because it really breaks it down. It means the same thing in the King James. I know, how many of you like King James? You like the thou and the and all that. Do you actually walk around talking like that? Thou, wait a minute. Okay, thou should not be doing that. The Amish talk like that, you know. It says the same thing, but it breaks it down to simple English and Ebonics, like for people like me. Okay, listen to what he says. He says, quietly, quietly trust yourself to Christ your Lord. And if anybody asks you why you believe as you do, now how many people here have experienced that? Where somebody say, hey, why do you serve the Lord? Why do you give your money to the church? Why do you always are at the church? Why are you always doing something for somebody? Well, when somebody asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them and do it in a gentle and respectful way. There's your defense. Tell them why you do the things you do and why you are the way you are. Why you're so strange. That's what the Bible said last week. I said, they look at you and they're wondering, why are you the way you are? Why are you so strange? Why you are a particular people, person? Why do you do those things? They can't understand that. I mean, we were asked that by Carmen's side of the family. They used to say, Why do you give your money to the church? You hardly have anything. And I did, we didn't. I didn't have money to pay bills and everything. So I just decided, you know what? Oh, well, I'm just going to give it to the Lord. And I did. And man, we were getting blessed. There'd be groceries on the door. I'd come home and there's a bag of groceries. And people would just bless us. But they ask you this. And because it's going to be the Lord who will fill your heart. He will fill your mouth and with what you need to say at the time when it happens. You just got to have faith. I think when we try to prepare what to say in our defense with somebody, the focus gets off the work of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the word tells us it's not by might nor by power, but by what? By my spirit, saith the Lord. You start to prepare, you start to think, okay, this is what I'm going to say. Your focus gets off that power of the Holy Spirit, and now it starts to focus on yourself. And then you trip up anyways. You mess up anyway. And I'm a good example of that because I'll come up here. When I have some word I have to practice or I have to say, you know, before I get up here, I'll say it like, I keep repeating it. Like, I'm just going to use a dog as an example. That's not the word. Dog, dog, dog. And I'm doing this all the way when I get up. Dog, dog. So I don't mess up. Then when I get up, I mess up. Why? Because I'm preparing or trying to prepare what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit do it. Or letting the Lord fill my heart. Let the Lord fill your mouth on what you need to say at the time it happens. And you'll be so filled with the wisdom. What does Jesus say? He says that your prosecutors will not be able to resist you. They're not going to be able to oppose you. They're not going to be able to refute you. They're not going to be able to deny or stand against your defense. Jesus was a good example of that, right? They try to trip him up. Hey, let's try to trip up his words and let's get him in his words. And every time he said something, they're like, oh. Well, they say, we can't answer him because if we answer him with a yes, then the people are going to stone us. If we answer him with a no, then he'll be right. Well, we'll just say, we don't know. We don't know. Let me give you an example of, again, letting the Holy Spirit lead you in your defense of why you do or why you believe the way you do. Before I worked on staff here, I worked for General Dynamics, where there was over 2,000 employees. Before General Dynamics, I worked at a machine shop called T.P. Hearns, where there was only 150 employees. 150 employees, guess what? Got the Word of God. All 150 employees. Gave them the Word of God. Gave them Scripture. In fact, they had their own personal, you know, we're talking a bunch of men, mostly men, machinists. And I worked in the Burr department where when we got a machine part, I was the one who took all the burrs off of the sharp edges and made sure the everything was exactly to the dimensions and everything. And everyone, they had a board, and they would put all this filth on the board and pornography, and then I'd go there, and I'd put a scripture, I put a nice saying about the Lord, and people kept complaining about this. Well, there was one guy, and this guy was, he liked to put his hands on people, and he never put his hands on me, not yet. And one day he came into the department because he brought in a forklift, brought in this big part for us to work on. And he got off, and we had our own little stalls, and he went down the stalls, and he was messing with people. He would have been a bully in a school. That's what he was, a bully. And I was watching him, and he went down the line, and I was at the end. He went down the line, and I'm thinking, Lord, please don't let him do this. I don't know how I'm going to react to this. Because I'm already being persecuted just because of my faith, by others, making fun of and all the same things to me and stuff. And I'm thinking, please don't let them do this. Don't. Be my, and I did, I asked, Lord, be my defense, Lord, my guard. And the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I was reminding the Lord of the scriptures. And he went down the line, and I was next. And I saw him in the corner of my eye. He looked at me, and then he goes like this, comes around. And I'm right here with my back towards him, and I'm working, and I feel his presence coming towards me. So I looked, there was the Bible. I grabbed my Bible. I opened it up, and I went, oh, yeah, come here. And he went like this. He goes, he saw the Bible. He goes, nope, nope, nope. And he turned around, and he left. And I was so excited. You don't know how excited I was that God defended me. I didn't need to defend my what I believe with my own self. I just used the word of God. It worked. It works. Try it. You know? but I gotta warn you, okay? Here it is. Here's the warning. When Jesus said, don't worry about what you're gonna say, don't worry about it. Just open your mouth and I'll fill it and you'll say it. I'm going to warn you, Jesus also is not promising that in the time of you, when you're being persecuted, when you're being messed with, that you would be free every time. He ain't promising that, okay? What he's promising is that you will have a strong opportunity to what? To be a witness and to testify and be a testimony for him in the midst of it. But yeah, Lord, I'm a Christian. When I became a Christian, I thought everything was going to be great. When I first accepted the Lord, it got worse. And I couldn't understand that. Wait a minute. I'm a Christian. Where are you, God? It's worse. Until somebody told me, hey, you know why? You're a threat now. You're a big threat for such a time as this. Now, I can honestly say back then, back in 1978, you're a threat to the devil. And because you are, he is going to mess with you, and he's going to try to get the things of God out of you. And it wasn't until I understood that. So Jesus ain't promising you that you're going to be free every time. He's promising that when the time happens, when you're being persecuted, when you're being, when people come up to you, he promises that you'll be a strong opportunity to be a witness and to testify about him. And what am I always telling you to do? Look, pray for? Divine appointment. In other words, you're going to be a divine appointment for him. And you're going to share him. Even the little bit that you know, whether it's, you know what? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. That's all you need to do, like a bottle of water. You don't need that to be like the scarecrow on the Wizard of Oz. XY, I wish I had a brain. XY, you know, remember that part when he gets the what is it, a clock? No, that's the heart. He gets a degree, a paper, and all of a sudden, XY, you know. And all you got to do is be a testimony for him. Because there has been times, but there has been times, and there will be times in our lives today, their lives in the past, and the lives in the future, there are many times when believers will be killed. They're killed. But I look at it as, if I'm going to be killed because of my faith, I'm going to look at it as actually blessing me because I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. That's the difference. You might be killed, but you know what? You're going to go home and be with the Lord. Amen. Even if it's right after you are testifying for the Lord, especially in the end times. Guys, in the end times, during the great tribulation, which, praise God, who won't be here for that? That's right. We're not going to be here for that, okay? Read the Bible. It's right there. During the great tribulation, before the Lord returns, it will be a time filled with the blood of many, many martyrs for the Lord. I'm talking about Christians. In fact, the New terrorists, guys, during the Great Tribulation when the Antichrist comes on the scene and he unites the whole world, and the whole world sees him as the Messiah. The Jews are going to see him as the Messiah they've been waiting for. The world's going to see him as a god. The new terrorists of the world, you know who they're going to be? The believers, exactly. The believers of Jesus Christ. Those who get saved during the Great Tribulation period. Those who are left behind. They're going to be the biggest threat of all in the tribulation period. They're going to be the new terrorist. Listen to what a church, second century church father, his name is Tertullian. I thought it was Tortilla. And somebody said, no, it's not Tortilla. It's Tertullian. And I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but that's the closest. It's good enough. You don't know. Yeah, he's a second century church father, consider, during the early church. He lived in North Africa. I want you to listen to what he said back then. He said, when persecution of Christians was at its epic, in those days the blood of the martyrs soaked the earth as believers were fed to the lions. They were beaten, they were whipped, they were sawed in half, they were put to death by sword. They were burned in the fire and chained in prisons. And Tertullian maintained that the more, listen to this, the more Christians were persecuted and mowed down, the more they would multiply because the blood of the Christian is seed. Read it in Acts. It's true. When the persecution of the early church started, they thought they were going to wipe the it was called the Way at that time, not Christian, the Way. They thought they were going to end it, but it grew more because everybody was dispersed and they fled and they went all over the world. It grew, and this is what he's saying. Tertullian's statement was later interpreted as, the blood of the martyrs, listen, is the seed of the church. I like to look at it as did you know that, and I always say, a new believer in Christ is the bloodline of the church. You want to know why?
Why?
Because like you, when you first accepted the Lord, when you see someone becoming born again, there is this great joy and happiness and excitement of somebody wanting, hey, I'm saved. I got to tell the world. Remember how you used to be like that? Remember? Should still be like that. But when I see a new believer coming here and getting excited, which I'm going to share, I get so excited. Like, Lord, oh, thank you. I get excited. I said, thank you. I want to be like that again. And it makes me want to do more and more for the Lord. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. This loose translation likely developed from Augustine. He said the earth has been filled with the blood of the martyrs as with seed, and from that seed has sprung the crops of the church. And they have asserted Christ's cause more effectively when dead when they were alive. I always say, hey, it's not read till you're dead. That's why I won't write a book. Because I have to die before somebody reads it. No, just not you, Yvonne, not you. You keep writing that book, okay? Just me, okay? No, that they used to say that. Somebody said that to me. I can't remember. Hey, it's not read till you're dead. But he's saying here, Augustine say, hey, the death of the martyrs and the Christians has done more for the Lord than when they were alive. What a testimony. Well, how does that affect me today, Pastor Steve? How do we live that out? Do we have to die? Yes. You have to die to the flesh. You have to die to yourself so that you can live for the Lord and you can live in the Spirit. And when you do that, you will be more effective dead in your flesh, and more alive in your spirit. Would you agree? Right? Amen? So he says this, and He says they assert it today. They preach him today. The tongues are silent. Their deeds echo around the world. And they were arrested. They were bound in prison, brought to trial, tortured, burned at the stake, stoned to death, run through, fed to the wild beast. In all their kinds of death, they were jeered at as worthless, but precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Ain't that encouraging? They were put to death. People are put to death because of the faith, but to the Lord, more precious in the sight of the Lord is when one of his saints die. I think of my mother-in-law. She served the Lord for 96 years, almost made it to her 97th birthday. Precious in the sight of the Lord was the death of her life. Because I can't wait to see her. I want to know what she's like up there in heaven. I mean, we can read somewhat of it, but to really try to comprehend what you guys are going to experience and what we're going to see and feel, I don't know. It's only your mind can go think and know so much. It's more and beyond what you could ever imagine and think. That's why you live for the Lord. Live for the Lord, because this life ain't nothing. In the next life, it's everything. So throughout history, we have seen, you might have seen, you might have witnessed the truth of what I just said about tortilla, okay? Because today, guys, think about this. This is another blessing. We are blessed, guys. We are fortunate enough to live in part of the world where Christian persecution is to the minimal, okay? And it's not as violent. You might have to give up that ultimate sacrifice. I mean, to the point, like other believers in past who have died, most likely you won't, because, again, the persecution is to a minimal right now, okay? It's coming. We're not giving that ultimate sacrifice as many other believers had to, and are still doing it through other countries are dying for their faith. But let me ask you this: but if God does cause you, if He calls you to suffer for Christ, that's when you got to look at it as an opportunity for a divine appointment. That's what Jesus is saying. A time for what? Witnessing, and a time of great joy for the Lord's sake, not for your sake. And know that God will reward you for it. So don't worry, Jesus. Don't worry, or don't be afraid of their threats. Don't be afraid even of their faces. According to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, listen to what Paul said. He says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but what? Also to suffer for his sake. It's been granted. It's like the Lord said, okay, Keith, I grant you the honor to serve the Lord and to suffer for Christ's sake. Isn't that what you're doing? You're suffering. In fact, you're suffering right now. I can tell because you're getting stretched out, or either that or you're going memes. I know. And we're suffering for Christ's sake. I'm suffering right now in pain from yesterday, but I got pain in my leg every day. I got pain in my hand every day. And now this hand gets numb. But what do I say? Don't bother. I got time for you. I don't care. I got to serve the Lord. It's all for the Lord's life. It's for, I'm going to suffer. I want to suffer for his sake. James chapter 1, verse 2. Listen what James says. He says, my brethren, my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah. I get out and say, oh, man, guess what, guys? Guys, I'm suffering today. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. I'm suffering. Oh, wow, man, you're lucky. I wish I was suffering. God, what's wrong, man? You don't favor me? Come on, how about some suffering? That's kind of hard to do. Okay, I'll be honest. James says, hey, count it all joy. Be joyful, excited when you fall into various trials and various sufferings. It's hard to do. But with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And it depends on why you are suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3, listen to what Peter said in verse 14. And I love this one. He says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. What does the word blessed mean?
Happy
to be. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. And then Jesus also said, he also got part of this, but again, Peter said, if you're going to suffer, suffer for righteousness' sake. He also said, if you're going to suffer for doing wrong, then guys, you deserve it, right? Don't try to get out of it. Take the punishment. If you do something wrong, and you suffer for it, you should just take the punishment for it because you deserve it. But if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, then happy are you. Blessed are you. Because it's for Christ's sake and not your own. Many times I suffer because of my mistake, and then I say, oh, Lord, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be happy. No, you blew it. Now you got to suffer the consequences of what? Sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and I love this one. Guys, listen. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and send the body to hell. That's who I want to fear. God. I want the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to know who God is and to experience God in my life. It's called gnosko, to know him by experience. I'm not going to fear man. He may kill my body, but he can't. This ain't me, guys. Look at this ain't me. The real me's inside. When I look at you guys, I just see a bunch of tents. Tents that are being torn down. The real you is inside. That's the part that relates to God. That's the part that God's going to glorify and it's going to be lifted up and go into heaven. And God says he's got a new body that we're going to occupy when we get to heaven. Amen. Me? This is what you see now. But when you see me in heaven, I'm going to be 6'2". I don't care what Tony says. I'm going to be 6'2". And I'm going to be called Theophilus. So if you look for me, you better look for a 6'2" buff dude and named Theophilus. But if you do see Barney Fife, they come up to you and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, Pastor Lou. Who's that? Pastor Steve. You know, it don't matter. Just to get there is it. But listen, but during the Great Tribulation period, guys, before the second coming of Christ, there's going to be a great persecution like the world has never known before. Think about the worst today. It ain't going to compare to what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period. But you don't have to be here for that. We won't be. I can only speak for myself. I will not be here for that. Because we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't have to be here for that. Paul tells us more about what's going to take place after the rapture when Jesus comes back for us. He tells us that the Antichrist, he's going to be the one who's going to come with this great power, with all this authority of Satan. He's going to be able to do great and false signs and wonders. And with all that deception of wickedness he's going to have, and many will perish because of the things he will do. Many. Because they did not receive the love and the truth of the Word of God to be saved. They didn't accept it, the Lord. You guys think it's, how many think it's, you think it's evil right now? Right? Well, guess what? When we leave, pure, love is going to receive us and we're going to be perfect. But at the same time, pure evil will take place. Not evil, it's going to be pure evil. And if you don't know what, if you think it's evil now, you haven't seen nothing. Pure evil. That's what Satan's going to bring after the church is gone, after that perfect love. And when you think about the pure love of Christ, well, guess what? He's a counterfeit Satan, and he counterfeits and does the opposite of what God does to deceive. Because why? He wanted to be like God. Pure evil is going to take place. And he's going to have all these false signs and wonders. And Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, listen to what he says. This is why chapter 21 in Luke and Matthew 24 and Mark, John jumps in it. It's so important. That's why we're taking our time through this. We need to hear these things. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, listen to what he said. He said, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, God's going to send this strong influence, meaning that he will allow it to happen, okay? He will allow them to believe in the Antichrist, in his lies, because he gives us free will to choose. But he knows who's going to get saved, guys. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows who's not going to get saved. Do you know? If you walk down the street and you look at someone, that person's saved. He's going to get saved. Oh, that person ain't going to get saved. We don't know. And that's why we need to get out there and we need to share this. He gives us free will. We need to share our faith. Now, two weeks ago, before we went to Mexico, I had to have the work on the van done. I had put new tires on it. I did the tune-up, had a tune-up done, and bought a new battery. Well, I called Triple A because they come out and we get the battery from them, and they got good batteries, and they'll install it for you. So I put the van out here. I called them. The guy came real fast, and he did the work. Neat guy. And I started talking to him. And when he was done, I told him, listen, I'm the pastor of the church right here. And it's my responsibility to tell you about God. So I want to ask you something. And he was looking at me. I asked him, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And he says, what do you mean? I said, if you die right now, do you believe in heaven and hell? Yes. If you die right now, would you go to heaven? He said, yes. I said, what do you base that on? He said, well, I'm a good person. I go around doing good for to people. I said, God knows we need more people like that. But you can be the best person in the world, and you still will not enter into the kingdom of God. What do you mean? And then I went in to tell him how I told him that Jesus paid the price so that you wouldn't have to work to be good to get to heaven. You wouldn't have to try to do all you can. He died on the cross for that. And then I went into Romans chapter 10:9. So I asked him, I said, this is the most simplest thing in the world. God made it very simple for people to come to know the Lord. I want to know, would you like to receive Jesus Christ into your life? He said, yes, I would. So he says, but I don't know how to pray. I said, well, I'll pray with you. I want to pray for you, and I want you to repeat after me. So we're out here. Now, this is the funny part. I'm parked on the side here, right? There's the parking's full of cars, so there's no, he had to park like he was from New York, okay? He had to double park. He was parked between half my car and half of another car, and the devil does this all the time. Every time you give the gospel, every time you're ready to lead someone to the Lord, guess what? The devil's going to try to distract that. Well, here comes the lady from getting a cup of coffee. She looked like she came from Swami's. She looks at us. He's parked where her car can't even get out because of the car in front of her. And I'm looking at her, and I have my hand. I said, let's just pray. So we started praying, and she walks up. She's looking at us. She gets in her car, and she just sits there and watch. And I thought, thank you. I was thinking, thank you, Lord, that she wasn't going to say, hey, I need a move. Can you please move back or something? Because normally that's what they would do. So we prayed. he repeated after me, and he received Jesus Christ in his heart. And I told him, I said, hey, I want to invite you to church. And I'm looking out here. I don't see him. He said, okay. But a lot of people always say that, and I don't see them. But don't matter. We're not here to build. I'm not here to build up this church. I'm here to build the body of Christ. He might not come here. He can go to another church, and that's fine with me. Long as the whole thing is that he accepted the Lord. So this is what we're called to do, share our faith. And John, he also confirms that about the Antichrist. Now, we're going to pick up next week and talk a little bit more about the Antichrist. But the point is, guys, is that we need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready to share our faith and to others. And that's the whole purpose, because Jesus came. He said, I came to seek and to save them which are lost. Get out there with that same purpose and share your faith. Simple, simple words of faith. Hey, how you doing? It's awesome how what's going on. Look for a common ground. Look what people are doing and get involved in that. And I'm telling you, people open up their hearts. And they're either going to accept the Lord or they're not. Oh, well, okay, if they don't, it's not your fault. They have to answer to that. But share your faith, okay? And remember, don't worry about preparation or what you're going to say. Just open your mouth and let the Lord fill it. It works. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for your word.